every Sunday morning in another part of our world, people who love this Bible and who love the Lord find themselves on the banks of rivers. They go there with their fishing gear, and underneath each one of their fishing gear, for those who hold on to a prized possession, is their Bible. They go to the middle of the river to worship God, realizing it's the only safe place they have that allows them the moments to be able to interact and connect with a God who they know personally and who they love in a beautiful way. For these believers, they hold on to the precious treasure of God's Word because it is their most priceless possession. I have no doubt that for each one of them, their Bibles, watered by the fishing gear and other times having to contend with different issues, it's most challenging for them to be able to hang on and realize that if they are caught with their Bible or if they speak the name of Jesus, they face 15 years in a hard labor camp. And so the question you ask is, how could they be open to obey when they know the consequence of their choice could have such dramatic effect on them? You see, the reality is that they had come into a life-changing encounter with Jesus. And for every one of those fishing boats that go off of the bank of the river in North Korea, they go, and in the middle of that river, they begin to worship and celebrate. But every time another boat comes by, they quickly will acknowledge it's the police, and they stop, and they wait. Well, just a few days ago, there was a boat coming by. They stopped all their worship. And as in the midst of that worship, the boat pulls up next to them and greets them in the name of Jesus. Well, they completely are set at ease because they realize this is a moment that they get to be able to worship and celebrate because here's another believer who's come by. He said, I bring you a gift. And you can imagine in their minds what kind of gift they were thinking they were going to get. But the gift they received was new Bibles. So everyone in their boat was cherishing and clinging and hanging on to their Bible. Well, the man who'd given each one of them a Bible took their old, tattered, water-stained Bibles back to his hotel room, hid them in his room, went out and about to do the other things he's called to do to help other people find God's Word. When he gets back to his room, he's startled to realize that all the Bibles are gone. What he had hidden, someone else had found. He had no idea whether it would cost him everything or whether it was a picture of how God works. And so he wondered as he stayed there in that hotel room, would the police come to arrest him? Would the police take him away? But then he realized something after a few days. The custodian and janitor who'd taken care of that particular room was also a Christian. And he was a member, listen to this, he was a member of a church that had four members in a tiny little house. And none of them had a Bible. And they had been praying for months. They'd been praying for months that God would give them the Bible to read. And so this custodian at the apartment, or at the hotel, realized this was a gift for all of them. And as the story was told of these people worshiping on their boat, what was most intriguing about that was that on that boat, when the Bible was handed to them, they clung to it with all of their might because they realized that this was a gift that money couldn't buy, that was priceless beyond their imagination. And as a result, it became the enriching part of that worship experience. You see, every Sunday morning, you don't have to get out in a boat, go out in the middle of a river, but you do have to choose to obey. And today we look at what happens when we're open to obey. And I want you to think about that as you open your Bible to Acts chapter 16. Beginning in verse 14, we find the story of Lydia, of a little girl who is traumatized, of a jailer who gets overwhelmed by an earthquake, of two men who are faithful to obey in the midst of difficulty, being beaten, thrown into jail. We find this amazing story, but it's really all about being open. And I want to ask you a question. When you think about your own life, are you open to new opportunities? Because here's what happens with Paul. He finds himself in the midst of all of these unique and challenging encounters. He finds himself having to contend with and deal with what he never dreamed he would, even being beaten because he's declaring the name of Jesus. And if you think about it for a moment, all those people in those boats in North Korea, all of them had relatives that had either died in a labor camp or were still living in a labor camp. And the only reason they were there is they refused to disobey the one who owned their heart, his name being Jesus. So I want you to think about the opportunities God has for you. Because if you're open, what I want you to see today is this. It's easy for us to close our spirit to what it is God wants to do. Bad attitude, bad disposition, overwhelming circumstances, perplexing dynamics, and all of a sudden we close our spirit up and we don't get to experience what God intended. And what I want to show you today is Lydia could have closed her spirit to religion. She could have said what he's talking about is not near as consequential as all the legalistic rules we have to be able to abide in. The little girl who was overwhelmed by the adversary could have, in all likelihood, not gone pursuing these men who declared who Jesus is. The jailer could have killed himself when he realized that the gates had fallen, that the walls had come down, that the earthquake had shaken, and all the prisoners were free. And what I want you to see today is every one of them had choices. Every one of them had opportunities. And I want you to think about, as you look at this in the Bible today, think about for you this simple concept. Because opening our hearts to God is where we find new opportunities. Opening our hearts to God is where we find our future. Because when we say, Lord, I'll do whatever it is you would have me do, I'll make that choice, I'll step into what it is you want to accomplish through me. When we open our hearts up, new things begin to happen. In fact, it's interesting. I was talking to a friend this weekend, and he was sharing about how God had impressed on him over and over again a concept that he ended up elevating into the minds and hearts of everyone who's a part of the fellowship where he pastors. And as he was sharing with us, I thought, man, what profound thoughts in the midst of something really simple. Listen to what he said. Being faithful today, watch it. Being faithful today opens opportunities tomorrow. And when he said that, I thought, you know, that's exactly what we need to do as far as being open today to what it is he wants to do through us, how he wants to work in us, how he wants to position us to experience him. And I want to challenge you to think about and be honest. How open are you to experiencing what only God can do? Because that's what happens in this text. And as we see this unfold, these people are all crossing the line. They're crossing the line and they're finding the freedom they need to have in Christ. They're finding the direction they need to have in Christ. They're finding the opportunity for life that really makes it worthwhile. And so as you contemplate your own openness, which by the way, if you're not 100% open, what happened? Something shuts you down. Something closes off what it is that you need to guide you forward. And so as you think about that in light of this text, grab hold of it and watch what happened. Look if you would. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. And when she had, and it's talking about Lydia, and when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Now, watch this. Here's what happened. Here's a lady who has only had religion. She had never had a personal encounter. She ends up in a personal encounter with God. And that personal encounter engages her in such a dramatic and powerful way that she's like, wow, I can take action on this immediately. And she's like, I want to be baptized. She gets baptized. And here's what happened. For the first time in her life, there's something in her house that's never been there before. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit at work. And I'm telling you, you can imagine what she felt like. She gets to entertain those who have led her to an awareness that Christ is the answer to everything. Imagine for a moment if you opened up your home, opened up your heart, opened up your life to let someone else see what Jesus only can do, because only he can set you free to be able to cause you to be prevailed upon in such a way that makes you go, you know what, I want to be open that way. I want to be used by God that way. I want him to open my heart up. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you secretly close your spirit, you miss the opportunity of God's great plan for your life. Because all of a sudden you start saying, you know what? I'm not worried about being faithful. I'm not worried about what it is that I'm encountering right now. I'll get past that and I'll come back to it. Listen, you don't come back. What you discover is you stay focused. And as you stay focused, God begins to work inside of you. But notice what happened. He prevailed upon them, and she prevailed upon them to stay. Verse 16, notice what happened. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, which was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. And following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." Now, I want you to think about this. This is a tormented child whose torment is so overwhelming that when she sees that there is any possibility that she could be set free from what it is that's coming at her, her immediate reaction is, "That's what I want. These men represent God. These men represent hope. These men represent obedience. These men represent direction in life." And I want you to think about it for a second. What if Paul had not been open to speaking into her heart? What if Paul had said, "You know what? I haven't got time for you. Move on." And the reality is, watch this carefully. If you and I stay open, he will give us opportunity to speak in the hearts of people wherever we encounter them and speak something to them that can change your life forever. Because here's what I want you to understand. You can't miss this. This whole entire story is a part of a missionary journey in which the gospel is a central theme of everything they're doing, which tells you something. What is the central theme of our lives? What should it be? The central theme of our lives should be obedience to God through the gospel in sharing and in equipping other people to realize that if they're open to Him, He'll change their lives forever. He'll change their hearts forever. I have no doubt that as I think about you and I, if we just open up, He'll change the way we look at life. He'll change our perspective. He'll do anything He wants to do that amazes us if we'll just stop and connect with Him. Look on. Look at verse 25. Because I want to show you just some things that obviously Paul and Silas, we're going to come back to some of this, so don't get lost in it, but I'm trying to highlight something for you. Verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, get this in your mind. They're in jail. They're stuck there. They don't have anywhere to turn. And they could have easily had a pity party and said, "You know, this didn't work out like we wanted to. We're on our second missionary journey. We should be getting accolades. People should be rejoicing that we're sharing. People should be celebrating what's transpiring. They shouldn't be acting like this." And so instead of getting a point of celebration, they get a point of jail. And so they're in jail. And I want you to think about this in light of your own journey of faith. When you have a problem, big problem, not little one. When you have a big problem, do you stop and praise the Lord? And do you celebrate who He is? Or do you allow that problem to define who you are? And I'm going to tell you what you see here. Paul and Silas, they're in that jail, but they're completely free. Because watch this. Their identity did not rest in where they were. Their identity rests in who they were in. Because when you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about different circumstances that get the best of you, that overwhelm you. You can instead entrust to Him and say, "Lord, I want to be open to what You have." And I want you to think about this for a second. What if everyone here just made a choice? I choose to open my heart to what God has for me. If you've never given your heart to Him, you choose to give your heart to Him. If you've never been obedient in some area, you choose to obey. And you start watching what transpires. The jailer obviously had no idea what was about to happen in his life. Look on if you would. Verse 30. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, I want you to imagine for a moment. Here is a jailer. Here's a guy whose sole responsibility is to keep people locked up. And what does God do? Takes it all away in a moment. And he could have said something totally different, but here's what was happening to the jailer. He was open to obey. I mean, imagine what would happen if you just, "You know what? I'm open to obey whatever it is that God has for me." I want to tell you what would happen. You would see some indicators. And there are three indicators that really are part of those who choose to obey, who are open to obeying. And it's all tied into this text we're looking at today. The first one is this. When someone hears God speak, they take immediate action. They don't say, you know what, well, man, I may think about that for 6 months, 8 months. I mean, and the truth is very interesting in our church family. Next weekend, we have a chance to have our next Jerusalem project. And it's interesting because God has already spoken to people, and he's connected people into that encounter of what's going to transpire in ministering in a particular part of our city. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, all those who've signed up to be a part of that could have said, well, you know, I'd like to do that, but, you know, it's the week before Thanksgiving, and I'm just going to be really busy. I'm not sure I could let that be a part of my story. And what happens to you? After a while, you're not really open to experiencing it. You miss it. And what happens when someone is open to obey, they take immediate action. But I'll tell you something, too. Second number two is it. They develop an intense focus. They develop an intensity of focus that is profound. And I'm going to tell you what I've discovered is, as the longer I live and the more I realize this, the more you focus, the more you hear. Because when you focus in on God speaking to you and he starts getting a hold of your heart, starts guiding you in that process, what happens? You open yourself up to him. So think about this. All of a sudden you start focused on something that matters, something that counts, something that gets you where God wants you to go. And when you do that, you begin to experience the third thing. It's this. When you're open to obey and you take the right choice, you go down the right path, there's total transformation that occurred. I mean, God just transformed. This week, I had the privilege of being with a bunch of our children from our church, and they had a special day, and they were out of school for the election, and so they were here at the church, and it was one of the most intriguing 45 minutes I've had, and I don't know when, because it's interesting. Listen, children are open to obey. The children are open to learn. They're open to hear the stories of how God's at work all over the world. And as I sat there listening to those children and listening to their questions, every one of them, listen, if we could be like a child and have the openness in our hearts as a child, we could do so much more. But oftentimes we close, and it's interesting, we lock it quietly hoping no one else hears it. But we close our hearts to obeying him. And what happens is, no one sees the repercussions until later on. And listen carefully. Something that subtly takes you away from your first love is the most dangerous thing you could ever encounter. Something that at one point you had a fire burning inside of you, and all of a sudden water has drenched that fire, is the most dangerous thing that ever could happen to you. Because watch this. The enemy subtly moves into our midst, not, watch this, not to accommodate us, but to destroy us. And that subtleness comes in and creeps in and begins to take away our direction, take away our hope, take away our purpose, take away our meaning, take away our understanding. And as a result, we go, wow, where do I go from here? Today, I want to ask you, when you think about your own life, are you open to whatever it is God would have you do? Are you open to saying, Lord, I'll serve where you want me to serve. I'll yield where you want me to yield. I'll listen where you want me to listen. I'll read where you want me to read. I'll hear what you want me to hear. And as I listen and hear, I'm going to obey. I'm going to tell you what you discover. If you do that, you'll live out like what these folks have done. Because I want to show you three very beautiful pictures that are a part of our service today in this text. Because the first one is the beautiful picture of an open heart. Because watch this. That open heart that Lydia had was so much more profound. No religion could be so persuasive. I mean, here's Lydia, and she's already, by the way, gathering at the place of prayer before Paul and Silas show up. So it's not like she does not have a religious background, or is she's in pursuit of something that has religious dynamics to it. Here's Lydia, and the only thing she's ever heard are, here are the rules by which you do what you're supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, Paul says, it's Jesus who sets you free. It's Jesus who works in your life. It's Jesus who speaks to you. It's Jesus who changes you. And Lydia had to open her heart. I mean, notice what the scripture says there in verse 14. While she was listening, she was a worshiper of God. She was listening, and the Lord opened her heart. Listen, if you open your heart, there's no telling what will happen. And how do we know it? There was evidence of immediate faithfulness. I mean, the Bible says that she gave her heart to him, and she immediately moved to be baptized. She took that step of faith. Lord, I want to be identified. What was baptism all about? It was about identity. And those who made a confession of faith in him, it was an identity issue. And I've been to Philippi. I've been to this place. Cindy and I both have been there 3 times. And the water that's near that place, there is no doubt that from the location of where Philippi was, that it wasn't very far from that place where they gathered to pray, that they gathered in the water and they chose to obey. And here's what I want you to see. The more you pray, the more you'll obey. The more you center your heart in him, the more you'll hear him speak. And I'm going to tell you what happened. How do we become powerless? We become prayerless. When we stop interceding and listening to him speak to our hearts, saying, Lord, speak to me, then what happens is we lose our power. And listen carefully. You can have the most polished program, and you can have the most significant things going on, but if it's not anchored in prayer, ultimately, the power source will disappear. Because what prayer does, the prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. It impacts greatly. So there was evidence of immediate response. But the second thing that's really cool is that when you see this, what happens to her immediately? Her immediate response is, would you guys please hang out with me? And why did she ask that question? Because, watch this, they were the most encouraging thing that ever happened to her. And here's what I want you to get in your mind. The encouragement that comes from Jesus is different than any other encouragement there is. Yesterday morning, we had a bunch of our ladies together for a special final Give Me Three. And I'm going to tell you, it was one encouraging time. Because it was an opportunity to be able to really reflect on what only Jesus can do. And I'm going to tell you, when we gather together, we just had a team come back from Tanzania who were in orphanages with little children and being blessed. And I was reading some of their takeaways from their encounter this morning. Chester had gathered for me. And as I was reading them, you know what I heard? I heard them being encouraged by what they had just done. That they had gone, watch this, in obedience to the call of God to make a difference in a faraway land, and that obedience had encouraged their hearts. Listen, for Lydia, the encouragement that came from Jesus would never leave her. Now, how do we know that? Well, just take a moment and look at something. Look at chapter 16 and notice what transpired. Verse 40, all right? Stay with me. Don't lose track here because I want you to get in your mind how open your heart is, okay? Look at, if you would, verse 40. They went out of the prison, and whose house did they go to? They entered the house of Lydia, and when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them, and they departed. Now, I want you to get this in your mind. In between Lydia's baptism is an encounter with the adversary, is an imprisonment and beating as a result of confessing faith in who he is. But out of all that, when they come back to Lydia's house, they come back and say, man, we just want to encourage you. We want to bless you. We want you to be encouraged by what it is that's happening in your life. Listen carefully. I want to ask you a question. When it comes to your home, how much encouragement rests there? How much encouragement rests inside of the place that you call home? Is your Bible open? Watch this. Is your spirit willing? Are you in obedience saying, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm willing to do it? Listen, when you do that, he just changes who you are. He transforms the way you think, the way you live. The question, number one, is simply this. Is your heart open? But then you see that out of this encounter, there is a very challenging, powerful moment where a little girl has to open her spirit up and allow God to work. And obviously, he does an amazing thing. And I want you to think about this. That girl had been so riddled by the adversary that the enemy controlled her and people profited from her. Not any different than what I read this week of a child at 18 being pushed into the sex trafficking industry of our world. As I read that story this week, I realized all across our world there are people being pushed into things that are absolutely opposite. And then once they're in the midst of it, they find themselves drugged and abused and hurt. There's no telling what this little girl went through. But here's what we do know, that there was no energy, watch this, no energy so strong it could get in the way of what it is God intended to do. no energy so strong. Here's what I want you to realize. The adversary, Israel, he does attack. He does throw weapons at us. But listen, no weapon formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the children of God. What a great promise to you and me. And so here's this little girl. Look at him if you would, because we saw part of it in verse 17 again. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." He continued doing this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. Now, for a girl who had been bound up by something that controlled her, she for the first time had a freedom to be who God intended for her to be. Her spirit was open. She got to encounter God's best. And I want you to think about this, because here's a girl who was traumatized by the adversary, overwhelmed by the enemy, only sustained by what was inside of her that was wicked and vile, but yet had enough wisdom to say, these are people represent the salvation, it's a way of God. And Paul, and it's interesting, by the way, because what's great about this particular story is you see Paul, even in the midst of all he's going through, there's no doubt Paul was busy, he was on mission, he had things he wanted to accomplish, but he realized he had to stop in his tracks and deal with something. And when your spirit's open, you just get to experience life in the most powerful, energetic way you could ever imagine. And for this little girl, his presence overcame everything the enemy would throw at her. I mean, I want you to think about his presence at work in her life. And here's where I want you to get the parallel for you and for me. The enemy will throw things at us. He'll throw things at us that affect our attitude and disposition. He'll throw things at us that affect how we respond to people. He'll throw things at us that get the best of who we are. If we're not careful, we'll lose sight of what it is God wants to do. Listen, in his presence, he transforms the way we live our lives. My challenge for you today is think about this. How open is your spirit to accomplishing what God intends? Because it's interesting, something subtle the adversary throws at you could take away the very direction of your whole life. I've dealt with this for 40 plus years, people who find themselves blessed beyond measure, but they start focusing in on something, the inadequacy of someone else, the insufficiency of some other person, instead of looking inside. You see, this little girl looked inside, and she saw everything was dark, and all of a sudden the light shined through, and his presence will overcome anything the enemy throws at you. Listen, you want to be close to him? Be open to obey him. Seek his face and listen to what he says to your life. Be faithful today. As my friend said, a new opportunity will open up tomorrow. You just have to choose to be faithful. Another thing that you see with this little girl is this. Freedom for her, and it's a powerful reference point. Freedom for her meant sacrifice for others. That freedom that was a part of her story meant that Paul and Silas were going to end up in jail. But you don't find where Paul stops. Say, wait, I know, I'm not sure I really did the right thing with that little girl. He did the right thing. And here's what I want you to understand. Sometimes when you do the right thing, it doesn't always read like a beautiful story immediately. But in time, the story will read, because your obedience was right, it will read into something that's powerful and amazing and significant and special. You just have to be willing to obey. So open heart, open spirit, and then I want to show you one final thing we wrap this together, and it's open jail. Because what we want to see is they're in prison, but there's no prison so powerful that's going to keep God from doing what he intends to do. And it's just like you and I see all over the world. He works in the most adverse, unique circumstance, situation. If we were to go to find the boat people who worship while out there not fishing, watch this, they're not fishing for fish, they're fishing for men. And if we were to go with them out into that river in North Korea, we'd realize that they're not in jail. There's a power greater. No prison so powerful could hold them back. And so here's Paul and Silas. They're in jail, and the Bible says that at midnight they're just worshiping the Lord, and they're just praying, and they're just beseeching God. I mean, they're having the most amazing time. And let me tell you what's powerful about it. And look at the reference again, because what it says here is they're in this jail, they're there, and the most powerful part is verse 25 is this. All the prisoners were listening to them. Now, I want you to think about this. Every prisoner probably had a bad attitude, disposition. They were probably not excited about life because they were stuck there. Then these two guys come in who have been beaten. They've been overwhelmed by all things facing. And they start singing, praise to the God of heaven. Can you fathom for a moment what transpired inside of their mind? They're going, man, these people, they're different than anybody else I've ever met. How could they have this freedom to worship? How could they have this freedom to celebrate? And I want you to think about related to what kind of prisons we let ourselves get into. The prison of dissatisfaction. The prison of being perplexed by all that we encounter. The prison that binds us up to not worship because we get caught up thinking, well, it has to be this way or that way. The prison not to read our Bible because things are going good. The prison that binds us up. You see, the truth of the matter is, if you don't seek His face today, tomorrow you'll face it without His word in your heart and life. And what happens when you're not open to it? It changes everything. And so for this open prison, it's interesting because pain, watch this, these are so key and we're finished. Pain did not distract him from his purpose. I mean, they had been beaten. They had been overwhelmed. In fact, if you read it on the text, when they finally realize that they have actually beaten some Roman citizens, that they realize they beat the wrong people, the jailer says to Paul and Silas, y'all can go. And Paul says to him, we're not going anywhere. We want the very people who set this in motion to come and ask us to go out. See, the truth of the matter is, no pain distracts him from his purpose. I'm going to ask you, what pain do you have? And you may be sitting there going, well, I have physical pain. I'm not talking about physical pain. Physical pain is just a part of life at times. But I'm talking about pain that costs you something more. Could it be that you're here today and you realize something, your pain has become your focus? Because here's what happened to them. They got in jail, and their focus was on faithfulness, not prison. Their focus was on how can I be faithful to God in the midst of everything I'm encountering? Listen carefully. It doesn't matter what you're facing. If you allow, watch this, your faithfulness to connect to God's purpose, then no pain, no prison will get in the way of what He wants to do through you. You just have to say, Lord, I'm open. It's all about being open. And by the way, it's easier to say I'm open than to be open. We can say very quick, oh yeah, I'm open to that, I'm open to that. No. It's more than that. It's being open in your heart. It's being open in your spirit. It's being open to make sure you're not in prison to something else that is an agenda that won't get you where God intends to go. One final thing is this. When you look at this, they're in this jail. They're overwhelmed by certain things. But what happened? The crisis that they faced created an opportunity for transformation that would set in motion the hearts of everyone who encountered them. The jailer, watch this. The jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? The jailer came into a life-changing encounter with him. God did something very powerful. Here's the question, simply this. Will you choose to obey? Because if you will, He'll change your life forever. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your amazing Word. It speaks to who we are, gets a hold of our hearts, and directs us towards Your purpose. And Lord, as I think about the promise of Your Word that we looked at today, that for Lydia, it was a choice to obey. For the little slave girl, it was a choice to obey. For Paul and Silas, it was a choice to obey. Lord, our choice today is we want to obey You. So I ask You in Jesus' name to speak to any heart of anyone here who needs to obey. Lord, if there's someone here who's never given their heart to You, I pray, Lord, that they would choose to experience You today. If there's someone here who needs to become a part of our family, I pray they would choose to obey and become a part of our family today. Lord, whatever it is You want to do, we trust You to do it. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.